following program is a production of the Barroom Network and intended for all audiences.
Is what would your message be to young women that are just getting started or want to get started in sports broadcasting?
Was there anyone that you worked with early on or maybe you built a bond with that kind of helped usher you in as a young broadcaster?
Was there ever an initial comment or situation from a coworker that first struck you that you might not be getting viewed in the same light as everyone else?
Social media has clearly created a new medium for people to be cruel in the matter of seconds. Do you feel that has made it more difficult for women, or is it simply just bringing to light the ignorance that has always been there anyway?
What inspired you to get into sportscasting?
Pass the Mic with Alyssa Barbieri and John Buffon.
Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Pass the Mic, a show dedicated to spotlighting female voices in sports media. I'm Alyssa Barbieri, and alongside me is my co-host, co-producer, and friend, John Buffon. If this is the first time listening, you may know our names from the Chicago Bears podcast we do here on the Barroom Network called Buffon 55. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Alyssa. The holidays are upon us, so some of our listeners might be in the car. Some of them might be spending a lot of time at home during this period. So hopefully we can provide them with some entertainment in the process. We have another great guest this week. But before we bring her on, Alyssa, can you let our new listeners know what we're all about around here?
Absolutely, John. So this show was created to feature female voices in sports and sports media. During our conversation with our guests, we hope to bring to light the struggles they have endured throughout their journey. Even in the year 2020, women in sports are often criticized for how they look, what they wear, or they aren't taken seriously simply because they are female. So through an open and honest discussion, we hope we can make a tiny impact. If we can do that, then this show will be a success.
Oh, for sure, Alyssa. And I think it's important that we note that sometimes our guests will be from a large market or network, and other times it'll be a more regional guest, because no matter where a woman works or what level they're currently at in their career, their story is important to tell, and we hope that we can present a new perspective along the way.
Definitely. And this week, we have an incredible guest. She is the host of the Sports Dime on 9:30 a.m., The Answer, in San Antonio, and also a writer for Sports As Told by a Girl. She is also the first Latina woman to ever host her own radio show in San Antonio. We now welcome Carolina Teague to the show. Carolina, thank you so much for being on Pass the Mic. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys so much for inviting me on.
We're so excited to have you, and I can't wait to, I know we both can't wait to hear your journey to where you've gotten, but I guess I need to start from the beginning. So, you know, can you tell me, you know, what was the inspiration behind you getting into sports media? Was there a moment? Was there a person? How did you get started in this field?
So, I was Facebook stalking somebody on social media, and, when I was Facebook stalking them, you know, you just go like down a rabbit hole and you're looking at people's pages and stuff. And upon looking up somebody's page, I saw that there was a competition for ESPN San Antonio's Rock the Mic competition. It was their second competition in San Antonio, or their second annual competition. And I felt like this was perfect for me because I was always watching sports. I was always posting about sports and getting into debates with people about sports. And I was actually pretty good at debating sports with people back and forth. And I was also part of the debate team in high school. So I felt like this was perfect for me to do a challenge. So I ended up trying out for that competition. I wasn't going to try out, but my best friend, she convinced me to put my pants on and go because I was like, I'm so tired. I don't feel like going. It was 2 hours before the competition tryouts ended, and I ended up trying out. I made the top 12. After the top 12, you have to get the most votes. Whoever gets the most votes gets into the top four. And then at the top four point, then you guys battle on air. Whoever does the best drops and gives the best takes wins the competition. So I ended up winning. I beat over 150 people for that spot.
Wow. That talking about really taking a chance and, you know, just kind of running with it. I want to talk about, you know, before all this, I want to get even further back. Can you, I know that your grandmother had a big impact on you. She had a radio show as well. Can you talk a little bit about your roots in broadcasting there?
Yes. So my grandma, she's a big inspiration for me. So she spent 32 years in radio, and I always looked up to my grandma. Just growing up, because she just carried herself so well, and she had such a great voice. Like, it's just very attractive, and you just want to hear her talk all day because she's just that good at talking. And when I was younger, she brought me to the station. She would go on like at 5 a.m. So we'd wake up at 3, and then she took me to the station, and I would be inside like the promoting rooms where she's recording her promos, and then like she would just give me a tour, and then I'd just be quiet while she's on the air. And then one time she invited me on the air, and she spoke all Spanish. I didn't speak Spanish, but I did get to speak, and I was so hooked. I loved what she did, and I told her I wanted to do it for a living, and she was like, Mija, there's no money in sports radio. So when she told me that, it kind of just like, I always kept that in the back of my head. Like, I'm never going to go in this direction because there's no money in it. So because of that, you know, it kind of just detoured me a little bit. But that love for being on the air, that love for being on radio, it has always been there. So that's a good question, because, you know, I did have that passion and that love for sports talk and just talk radio since I was a young girl.
And so obviously, as a woman branching out into sports, is, you know, that's a big thing. But also for you, you were the first ever Latina woman to host a show in San Antonio. So what did that mean for you personally? And do you hope that you're kind of paving the way for other Latina women that want to get into the business?
For me, I was happy that I finally got a show, because out of the four winners who won the Rock the Mic competition, so far I'm the only woman that has won. But I'm also the only person who never got a spot on the air. So I felt like that was my drive after winning the competition, was trying to find my voice and trying to figure out how I would stand out. So I felt like it was a huge, long journey for me, and it was a lot tougher for me to get a spot on the air than it would be for any of my peers. And there was a lot of times where I would look in the mirror and I would be like, you know, what is wrong with me? Why am I not getting a spot? Or how come I can't cover the Super Bowl? I would ask to cover the Super Bowl like other people could that won the competition. And they would tell me, well, you can't cover the Super Bowl because it's too expensive for us. And I was like, I'm willing to pay for my own way. I would still get shot down. I would ask to cover the Cowboys. I wouldn't be able to. I would ask to cover the Spurs. I wouldn't be able to, which it's kind of tough to cover the Spurs. But I would still get, no, you can't talk about this. You can't talk about that. So I had to find my own lane. And I figured out quickly that my lane was boxing, because boxing is a huge community in San Antonio. I started to build my name covering boxers in San Antonio. So my popularity began to grow as far as covering boxers. And then the local wrestling community wanted me to be involved. So then I just started growing my name in that way. And I started feeling like I'm finding my own voice at that point. But the competition is each year. So my year was coming to an end. And I had asked if I can get a spot on the air, or if I can get a show. They were coming up with this new Saturday morning show. So I had been told that I would be able to be a co-host on the show. So I was really excited. Well, then they announced the show and I wasn't a co-host. So I was kind of taken aback, because nobody ever had gotten back to me on, you know, am I going to be on the show or not, or where do I stand? And I slowly wasn't being able to cover wrestling anymore, because they were saying it was conflict of interest. I was slowly being told I wasn't able to cover boxers anymore because it was conflict of interest. So I was just feeling like as my popularity started to grow, I started being shut down. So I wanted to find my own path. And I ended up going to the ticket because somebody had invited me, a guy who did fill-ins, his name was Guyland Jackson, he invited me over to the ticket 760. I went over to the Ticket 760 because I felt like I had more opportunity to be able to get reps at the Ticket. And plus, of course, there was no way, no opportunity for me to have a spot at the air on ESPN. And I just kind of wanted to take the new opportunity that I had at the Ticket 760. So I went over to the Ticket, and we would fill in every now and then. And we had a really, really great time. But then some situations had occurred that were, I don't even want to get too much into it. But what I can say is that I have dealt with probably more than any. I feel like the reason why I'm so successful, or why people see me as successful, or people see me being the first Latina woman to be successful in San Antonio, it means more to me than it does to anybody, because I don't think anybody in this industry in our city has had to experience or endure the things that I've experienced, with the exception of maybe Rudy J and Calvin Casey at the Sports Grind, who've they're a Black owned sports show that's been on for 17 years. I don't think anybody has been tested or challenged as much as I've been challenged. So being able to have my own show, in my opinion, meant a lot to me, because I finally got that opportunity that I had really worked hard for.
And I can say there's a lot to unpack there, but from one boxing fact to another, I can say that you're a great follow when it comes to boxing. So, but we could probably go on another 60 minutes about boxing. That's for another podcast down the road. We can talk about that later. But I do want to ask you, because it is a common theme with a lot of our guests, and you can disclose as much or as little as you want, but there is always a common theme of instances of either male fans or male colleagues sometimes not knowing where the boundaries are when it comes mm-hmm. to interacting. And whether it's someone coming up to you and just, you know, getting into your personal space, or someone that is overstepping when things are turning professional and they try to turn it personal. Have there been instances of that?
To be honest, no. I was grateful enough to be at ESPN and the Ticket 760. And nobody that I've ever associated myself with or have come across has ever tried to, test their boundaries with me or threaten me with their boundaries from a radio perspective. Now, from a media credential perspective, yes, that has happened to me at least one time. I have, men will try to, holler at me. I don't know how else to say it. Men will try to holler at me. And if I don't, if I shoot them down, then I try to get access to credentials and I don't get access. So I know that it has a lot to do with the fact that I didn't want to date them or didn't want to talk to them. So that has happened to me like that before, but it really doesn't bother me because I know that that's not unprofessional on my end. That's unprofessional on their end. It's actually been with women. I've had women tell me things, in my opinion, that are out of line. I've had a woman tell me, the only reason why men want to work with you is because they want to F you. So people, I feel like the worst experience that I've had in this industry was actually with a woman, to be honest, which is, it sucks because women are supposed to stick together. But that was one of the worst experiences that I had, is a woman actually attacking me. And then one time I was at a party, or it wasn't a party, it was like an event for a radio show. And I remember I went to the restroom and I had to go pee. Well, obviously that's why I go to the restroom, right? I had to go pee because I was in the restroom. So when I got out the restroom, a couple of women, they came up to me and they bombarded me with a bunch of questions. And it was probably one of the most uncomfortable moments in my sports media career, because I take a lot of pride in not sleeping with men or not trying to cross that line with men. And I remember these women came into the restroom and they had accused me of being the side chick of a radio host. And when I had denied that and I had told them that I wasn't his side chick, they didn't believe me. And it turned out they were his sponsors. for his show. So when they didn't believe me, they started to press me even more. And they were like, well, you know, he's married. And I was like, and I was just like, I can't, that's not my character. I'm not the type of person that will sleep with a radio host just to make a name for myself. Like, you have to believe me. Like, I was trying to convince these women that I wasn't someone's side chick. And once that happened, it was just a really uncomfortable moment for me. And I knew that my time at that radio station would come to an end pretty quickly. And it did.
I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, not just being men being the ones that, you know, can give you criticism or harassment. You know, so what do you think needs to happen for women to be accepted more in sports media, not just by men, but by other women?
I don't know, maybe, man, that's a good question, because I don't know what needs to be done. But what I do know is that I can control who I am and what I do. First and foremost, I'm not going to judge a woman by how she looks. If I think a woman is beautiful, great. I'm not going to accuse her of sleeping her way to get to the top. And if a woman is not as attractive, I'm not going to accuse her of sleeping her way to get to the top. So I think that's one of the ways that I can, you know, I feel like I can show, like, my actions can show how I want change to be done. But maybe what other people can do is just kind of treat other people with kindness and not, you know, judge people right away. Because being a woman and being a Latina in this industry, I get stigmatized by a lot of people, especially by people in this industry. They stigmatize me as ghetto and Hispanic, and or a ghetto Hispanic, unprofessional. But if they were to see how hard that I work, and if they were to see how much it is a priority to me to do things the right way, I don't think they would call me that.
You staying in that same vein, you talk about some of the harassment you got personally face to face, but also on social media, there's a new medium for people who have never met you or live halfway across the country, live thousands of miles away, but they feel like they can sometimes attack people on social media. So whenever that does happen, and it has happened to all of us at one point or another, whether you host a podcast, a radio show, TV show, what have you, how do you handle it? Because a lot of the women we talk to, they have different you know, ways of going about it. Some ignore it, some shoot back, some try to make it a joke. How do you handle some of that online harassment?
Well, I'm a Cancer, so it just depends on how I feel when I wake up. So let's get that out the way. Some days I want to be above it all. I want to be like, when they go low, we go high. And then some days I want to be like, when they go low, I'm going to go with them. So it all just depends on my mood that morning. That's another stigma that I have about me that people say about me, is that I don't know how to handle when I get attacked by trolls. But I think people who feel like that need to realize there's a difference. Like, when I was getting harassed insanely prior to February of this year, I was having people write the station saying that I didn't need to be on the shows. They were not only doing that behind the scenes, but they were also saying it in public as well, every time I would go on the air. And one time it was nonstop harassment for like 24 to 48 hours. And we were told, you know, if you don't respond, you know, don't say anything, take the high road. And this wasn't from producers or anything like that. It was just me and my friend who I went on the air with, just telling each other to do the right thing. But there's only so many times that you can be called a ghetto trash person. There's only so many times you could be called a racist and a sexist within a 48-hour time frame before you have to say something, especially when these people are closely associated with people who have their own shows. So it came to the point where I had to say something, and it was, my mics weren't hot. Like, I was on the air one time, we were on the air for like 48 hours. My mics weren't even hot. I was off the air, and I told this person who used to be the ex-producer of someone's radio show who was harassing us, I told him, if you don't like us, please turn off the station or you can go away because what you're doing isn't okay. And that's all it took. And I got banned from a radio station. So I feel like it's one thing when it's a troll online or over the internet, because I got dragged the other day because I said I saw UFOs, because I really do feel like I saw UFOs. And people were telling me that I needed go get a mental health evaluation and all this stuff. And that stuff doesn't bother me. I don't care if you think I'm crazy because I think I saw UFOs, or you think I'm not that pretty, or I don't know what I'm talking about. And you're Joe Schmo from Vermont. I really don't care. What I consider a problem is when I know that these people are closely associated with other people at stations, and they're doing it for a reason. So I knew when I was going to have my show coming up, my first show, The Sports Dime, when I knew we were going to launch, I had a fear that these same people were going to attack me again. And I was right. I started getting these attacks from people. They were writing my station. They were telling my station that I was on drugs and I need to get drug tested. They told my station that I was a stripper because it's a conservative station. So they started a rumor that I used to strip at a strip club called Sugars. And I had never been a stripper in my entire life. And there's nothing wrong with strippers. I don't have a problem with strippers. But you know, and I know that in the sports world, people are going to frown upon that if people hear that you have a stripper pass, or they'll look at you different, or at least that's what their goal was. They also talked about my miscarriages and said that I'm a hollow woman from the inside out. I've been called a fat Walmart wearing bitch. And I discovered that the person who was doing this was closely associated with someone who had a radio show in San Antonio. It was one of their marketing managers. I found that out. And I was like, wow. And when I reacted accordingly, they put out a rumor that I could not handle trolls. But they are the trolls. So to me, it's different when it's like a troll that I don't consider somebody who has their own show and their friends trolls. I consider them real human beings that have problems. And they are really focused on me for the wrong reasons. So that stigma that I have about me, about trolls, I really hate that, because nobody knows what I went through behind the scenes and in real life.
This is why this show is so important, because, you know, it's important for people to hear the kind of things that, you know, women like you have to experience, because they have no idea all the obstacles that you faced. And, you know, thinking about all those obstacles, because you've gone through a lot, you know, from what you've told us, was there ever a moment where you felt like giving up, or that it wasn't for you, or did you just kind of like push through that?
The day that I had got banned from, or allegedly banned from the radio station, and allegedly told I could never go back again, I cried the whole day, because it was my dream. You know, being on the radio is my dream, and I didn't understand why it was so hard for me to just be on the air. Why does it bother people so much? I didn't know. But I had a realization, and I believe in a higher power. And I said, I'm going to let it all go, and I'm going to focus on myself, and I'm going to focus on my craft. So from February all the way to August, I came up with this crazy plan of how I was going to roll out my show and roll it all out and make it successful. And we started rolling it out, and we got a way bigger response than I could ever dream of. So that is when I realized, that's how I know what my power is. And I started to realize in my head, the reason why these people are attacking me so much, and the reason why they're trying to crush my mic and trying to do all these things, is not because they think I'm trash, or they think I'm no good, or they think I'm unprofessional, or whatever it is. They're doing it because they recognize my power and they don't want it to exist. So that's why when I rolled out my show and everything went according to plan that I had planned out for myself, because I wanted to be successful, that's when I had realized that I was bigger than everything that they were putting onto me and hitting me with. And I knew that I could overcome all of that. So that was my aha moment. Once I realized that me being a woman and me being a Latina wasn't, you know, a disability, but it was something that empowered me and I used it to my advantage, that's when things started working out for me.
It's one of those things where they hate you because they ain't you, and so you gotta keep because they keep moving forward.
It might be that. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, you've worked so hard to get this show, and you've worked so hard to overcome a lot of things that a lot of other people in radio have not had to deal with. So please tell us about your show. Tell us about the Sports Diamond and what kind of what you bring to the table, because that's just as important as anything else. Tell us about what your current work is.
So right now we have the Sports Diamond. We are the number one show on the weekends right now. We're listened to in 8 different countries, the Philippines, Japan, and all these other countries I cannot think of, Mexico, Canada. So I'm just really grateful that we have a show. So basically what we do is we talk about everything that's hot topics. That's basically our favorite thing to talk about. We talk about hot topics at the moment. And then, of course, we have special guests that come on. We have we had our first Spurs player come on, which was amazing. He came to our building. His name is Keldon Johnson. We've interviewed Joy Taylor, Summer Sanders, and we've just been able to have all our dreams come into fruition. And really, our show likes to incorporate, you know, a woman's perspective and a man's perspective. So our goal is just to make our listeners happy and involve them in every chance that we get. We work extremely hard to have a successful show, and the only people that we need to really impress are the people that tune in every single week. So I'm just really grateful for all of our listeners and everyone that follows my journey.
And can you also tell us a little bit about Sports as Told by a Girl and how that came about?
So Sports is Told by a Girl is a blog that was started by Ashley Binder, and she lives in the northwest side of the country. I never asked her what part of the country she lives in, but I know she lives in the northwest, she lives in the northeast, and her blog was started so that she can give women an opportunity to be able to write articles and to express themselves. And she has always been just an amazing and instrumental part of my career. She has been able to get me credentialed in sports locally. She's been able to, she's just been like a light in my world. And I'm just really grateful for Ashley. They have a great blog. And that's what Sports is Told by a Girl is. So basically, we just talk about sports, but we're all women. So I really love that platform. And I really love writing for them.
Awesome stuff. And Carolina, before we get you out of here, can you please tell our listeners how they can find your work, how they can listen to your stuff, and how they can interact with you on social media?
Yes. You can find me on social media at @CarolinaTeague_ on Instagram and Twitter.
That's Carolina Teague. She is the first Latina woman to ever have a sports radio show in San Antonio. She works for 9:30 a.m. The Answer, also in San Antonio, and she's a sports writer for Sports as Told by a Girl. Carolina, I want to thank you so much for being so candid, being so open, and having this important conversation with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me, and thank you for having this platform.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with a mic drop after this.
On a recent Sportscaster and Her Son podcast, Peggy Kaczynski spoke with Jeannie Morris about Gale Sayers.
Ed McCaskey, who is a wonderful guy, the current president of the Bears' father, helped Gale write that speech. Ed was very, very supportive of the Piccolo family all through that ordeal.
So Ed McCaskey, the husband of Virginia McCaskey,
correct,
helped him write the speech, which is the one that everyone remembers Billy Dee Williams doing in the movie?
Yes.
Wow.
I love Brian Piccolo. And I'd like all of you to love him too. And tonight, hit your knees. Please ask God to love him.
Wow. Well, and Ed McCaskey was always had such a great way with words. He was he loved to sing, and he loved to, he just had such a special way with words. That's the first time I heard that.
The Sportscaster and Her Son, now on the Barroom Network.
Welcome back to Pass the Mic. Now it's time for the mic drop, where John and I wrap up the show. So, John, what a diverse career Carolina has already carved out, huh?
That was incredible, and that's why I love doing this show so much, and why I think this show is important, because she didn't have to tell us that, and she didn't have to divulge as much information as she did. But it's important because it brings to light that those things are still happening, and that's not something that you see, or that's not something you talk about on your radio show, and that's not something that you talk about whenever you're maybe being interviewed for a newspaper, and that's not something that you just talk about in general. But that's what this platform exists for. It's so that we can talk about that, and these things do exist. And if somebody listening, male or female, hears this, then maybe they can be part of that positive change. And like you said, and like we've been saying since we started the show, if we even have a tiny impact, then we will have done our jobs here. So having these conversations, these candid conversations, are just paramount.
And, you know, it's really courageous of her to come and share everything that she's gone through, not only as a woman in sports, but a woman of color in sports. She has even more obstacles to endure. And one of the things that she did bring up was that it's not just men that are criticizing and harassing. It's also some women, because, you know, still women being in sports is not accepted. And that's something that, you know, we have to share these stories, things that are still happening here in 2020.
Yeah, and it's like we've always said on this show, it's amazing how different these journeys are and the different obstacles. I mean, a lot of them are similar, but every show we hear something different that we hadn't thought about before, and it just keeps bringing more and more things to light, and it's been a pleasure to be a part of this. And before we wrap up, I do want to thank everyone for tuning in, whether you're in your car at home or whenever you're listening to this. We hope that you will join us again and again and again. And remember, all of these shows are evergreen. You can listen to them anytime. They're not timely. Go back and listen to all of our episodes, starting all the way back to episode one with Peggy Kaczynski talking about her amazing journey to being a sportscaster in Chicago. I want to thank Carolina for coming on. I want to thank Aldo Gandia, who's running the board, and thank you, Alyssa, for being a huge part of this show. It's always a fun time, and what we do here, I believe, is important. Whether we're talking about radio broadcasting or TV broadcasting, we always have a good time, whether it's this show or Buffon 55 or anything else that we do.
Absolutely. And I hope that, you know, for all of our new listeners that are joining us, that, you know, they do go back and they take a listen, because we've had a diverse group of women that have been on, everywhere from, you know, Peggy Kaczynski, who is just, you know, a very well-known face in Chicago, to, you know, Carolina, who we just had. So it's a very diverse group. And, you know, since you did bring up Buffon 55, you know, I might as well plug it. Make sure you do tune in every week to Buffon 55, where John and I break down the Chicago Bears' most recent game and interview an expert on their upcoming opponent. There are also some epic rants from John, because, you know, if you've watched the Bears this year, you know exactly why.
Yep, there's plenty of reasons to have epic rants. It's just hard to fit them into that 55-second window. But before we head out, I want to remind everyone to give Alyssa a follow at Alyssa Barbieri and myself at JD Buffon. Also, follow the Barroom Network for all of our awesome shows. We got sports, entertainment, and everything beyond that. So also be sure to check out bearsbarroom.com. So for Alyssa Barbieri, I'm John Buffon. We'll see you next time on Pass the Mic.